ultimate goal of all art is the building. So declared Walter Gropius, architect and founder of the Bauhaus School 100 years ago in April 1919. No longer would visual art be thought of as ornamentation or embellishment. Art was the very essence of the thing. Art was in the building or the object itself. And so painters, sculptors and architects were brought together to learn the fundamentals of design, theories of colour and line and perspective. We all must return to craftsmanship, Gropius said. The Bauhaus School had a troubled existence, and it lasted only 14 years. It was forced to move cities twice, and yet it remains an enduring influence, with events all over the world to celebrate its centenary. One of the cities that housed the Bauhaus was Dessau, where the Bauhaus Dessau Foundation works to preserve and pass on the movement's ideas. Dr. Claudia Perren is the director, and she joins me now from Germany. And Claudia, welcome to the Art Show. Thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Claudia, just how radical at the time was this idea of grouping painters, sculptors, and architects together to learn the same things?
The idea was pretty radical. It was especially radical if you look at the time in Germany 100 years ago. So Germany, it was just after World War I. It was the first time Germany actually had a democracy. It was the first time women were allowed to vote. So in that situation, a lot of people thought that society should be kind of rebuilt from the scratch. So in terms of school, Gropius thought that we should not look back. We should not copy our masters anymore, but we should try to get a really new education in place for designers. And designers in the German term he used was Gestaltung, and Gestaltung incorporated art, design and architecture all together. So when he looked at craftsmanship and art, he wanted to combine these things to have new perspectives on it. And he also saw that design in that way could serve society, so he could improve the daily life of everybody, really.
Was there a political motivation to Bauhaus originally?
The political motivation was especially to find its place in a democracy, because that was really new. And the idea was for Gropius to bring together really different minds to discuss this new time. So if you look at the figures he invited to teach with him at the school, you know, they had really different artistic and also political positions. And it was not so much to get a one direction for this school, but being able to have them all together to discuss and to come up with the best solution for a new society.
Just as a sort of overview, what are the key principles that underpin the works of Bauhaus?
That's actually a very difficult question, because it's not so much like you have the five key principles for modern architecture by Le Corbusier. It was much more complicated, because the key was that there was a teaching scheme where everybody coming to the school had almost to learn and to unlearn what they already knew. So this was the idea of the preliminary course, what today I think often is called the foundation course. So they would study materials, colors, shapes in a very experimental way, to learning all about them, but without a goal. So it was all about experimentation and discussing the new approaches to these very basic elements. But also, even this preliminary course really changed from who was teaching it. So first we had Johannes Itten teaching it, and there was a lot of spiritual aspect in it, but also he taught subjectivity into this kind of approach. And then Moholy Nagy came and everything became much more technical in a sense. And then when Albers approached, then it all turned more into material studies and experimentation with paper a lot and perception. But what was the same for all of them was the principle of looking at things in a new way. So almost forget what you know about everything. Then there was the workshop teaching. So the Bauhaus didn't have really classes, but they had workshops. So they had a metal workshop, the weaving workshop, the timber workshop, the workshop for typography and photography later. And there was always a craftsman and an artist teaching the students together. So also, again, to get more perspectives on these materials and try to create new forms. And I think this is what was very successful. Even it was very experimental. It had a lot of failures. But what we now know from the Bauhaus are the objects that we now call classics.
Yes, that's right. Dr. Perrin, I wanted to ask you specifically about Dessau. First of all, can you just explain where Dessau is in Germany?
Yeah, so Dessau is only 1 hour south of Berlin. So whenever, and I know Australians love to visit Berlin,
yes.
So you should all come to Dessau as well.
Yeah.
So, 1 hour by train to this house. It's not that big as a city. It's about 80,000 inhabitants. But what's very nice, even the Dessau was destroyed in Second World War by almost 80%. Most of the Bauhaus building survived.
Oh, really?
So we have the original school building. We have the master houses, where Gropius and Klee, Kandinsky, Feininger, and Moholy Nagy and all of the masters lived. And then we have a lot of social housing developments in this house of Dessau by Gropius, but also by Hannes Meyer, which was just 2 years ago listed to the UNESCO Heritage.
Mm.
And I don't think they thought that they would ever last 100 years, but here they're
wonderful.
Still around, and you can visit them.
So Claudia, the school was founded in Weimar, and it ended up moving to Berlin in 1932 at the end of its life. But in the middle, it moved to Dessau. And Dessau has now the most Bauhaus buildings in the world. So how do you feel that Bauhaus resonates today in the larger world, I suppose?
Yeah, I think Bauhaus, even as you said, only existed for 14 years. It had a bigger impact, and I think still has. And that comes, I think, because of the international network it was working in. And I think it also is very feels very contemporary because it was so much ahead of its time. So almost 100 years ago, it feels, right and normal and contemporary, but at the time it was really radically new.
Yeah.
And it's not so much, I think, just the architectural language, but it's more how they thought, out of their school building. If you look what the products or objects they produced, from lamps, teapots, wallpapers up to architecture, it's quite interesting that they had such a direct impact into the daily life. And that's quite interesting. And I think if you look at most of the schools these days, they're pretty much staying in their walls, which is a shame,
I think.
Because there's so much potential and so much creativity a lot of cities could use.
Yeah. Now, just briefly, Dr. Perrin, in September this year, you're opening a brand new museum, 28 million euros, a Bauhaus Museum Dessau. It's been funded by the federal and state governments in Germany. First of all, congratulations. Why is this museum needed? And what do you hope for it to achieve?
Yes, so we have in Dessau the second largest Bauhaus collection in the world, and so far that's the Bauhaus Archive in Berlin.
Oh, okay, yes.
And this is also an interesting story because it says a lot about East and West Germany. So West Germany was quite early starting to collect Bauhaus objects all over the world, and East Germany, so the GDR, had a very difficult relationship, if you want to put it that way, to the Bauhaus. So they only rediscovered it in the 70s when the Bauhaus had its 50th anniversary. And this is also when they started a collection. And it's quite interesting. So we actually have a GDR-based Bauhaus collection, which is focused a lot on the teaching method. We have a lot of material from students, a whole series of prototyping, certain chairs. We have a lot of sketches and a lot of planning material, which is really interesting if you see it in relation especially to the buildings that were only built in Dessau, because this is actually the original Bauhaus period where most of the architecture came out. That was Dessau, because the building department was only opened in Dessau in 27.
Ah, that's completely fascinating. That the two sides of Germany, in a way, built and created really quite different archives.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
And that's why you should see both, definitely.
Absolutely. And now, Dr. Pennan, are you at the moment, I hope you're going to say yes, are you sitting on a Vasili Bauhaus-designed chair?
Of course I do. I always do.
Excellent. Great. Well, thank you so much for coming onto the Art Show here on RN.
Okay, thank you for your interest.
Dr. Claudia Perren, the director of the Bauhaus Dessau Foundation, speaking to me from Germany and home of Bauhaus, and there are a lot of events happening throughout the year for the Bauhaus centenary. You're listening to The Art Show. I'm Ed Ayres.